Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's interesting, when we go to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club over the years and we walk to the first tee and they introduce the suit, this is his entry music. Enter Sandman.
Yeah, pretty crazy at about 8:05 in the morning, huh?
It really is.
Yeah.
And Craig and the Chief and I would stand there and he'd wave. And then we'd ask him who he was waving to. Then we'd hit the first tee shot and then we'd get in the cart and we'd go over to the driving range to pick up his ball. All right, so, I mean, but the entry is impressive, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Then came the next 18.
I shot 64 today.
Sure you did.
Yeah. Yeah, you were involved in 64 shots, yeah. Hasn't practiced, has he?
No, and my concerns and input have hit the wall.
You're rooting for the wrong team.
I'm kind of feeling that way.
All right. Patrick Chambers in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day. The Sixers on the road on a night where Kawhi Leonard played really well again. Jimmy Butler and company found a way.
Joel Embiid down low left. One-on-one with Gasol. Here comes a double. Embiid turns. Shot clock at three. Kicks it out to the right side. Butler. Three ball. Jimmy Butler has done it again. Bangs in a three. Timeout, Toronto.
Hit 30 last night. And hit big shots down the stretch when Toronto was trying to make a run. And Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard were the two best players on the floor last night.
Can you imagine if Ben Simmons had Jimmy Butler's jump shot? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
But, you know, but that falls to Ben Simmons, to be honest with you, Sean. You know, this is his second full year in the league. Last summer, that's what you work on. You work on your jump shot all summer. You work on the parts of your game that you need to be better at. And he needs to be better at it. I mean, he's pretty good from 10, 12 feet, but you start getting him outside that. And he's your point guard. He's supposed to be outside. Can't force somebody to work on something if they don't want to do it. All right. Okay, let's get to Patrick Chambers, head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. Patrick, I know you have a limited opportunity because right now you're involved in a situation where you're looking to the future of Penn State basketball, and we'll leave it at that.
I think, Steve, how you doing? And yes, that's the correct way of not getting me in any trouble.
Exactly right. On the future of Penn State basketball. Let's start with this. Do you and I need to get recommendations from Girardi on hats for a soiree on Saturday surrounding the Kentucky Derby?
If Girardi's a hat guy, he's the guy we need to text, email, or call ASAP, because that soiree is going to be an awesome time. For the Kentucky Derby, for the race. Again, raising awareness, raising funds. It's a new event for us. So my entire staff's going to be there. Again, watching the Kentucky Derby in your outfit, in a bonnet, in a hat. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I could see Nick Colella right now. All right, so...
I can see Kathy.
Okay, but let's be honest about it. I mean... It's kind of like in Rocky when he breaks his nose for the first time. You look better. I mean, that would be Cappy, a hat. You look better.
I love the film reference. I'm a big fan of the Rocky series, and that is fantastic.
This all benefits coaches versus cancer. This is a year-round fundraising event. How important was it to get hooked in with this particular event? Because this had been going, this had actually has gone on for a while, but not hooked in with Coaches versus Cancer.
Yeah, I think any time we can be a part of the community and help raise
funds and awareness for our friends, neighbors, families. I think we need to be a part of it. And it was brought to our attention over a year ago. And we thought, you know what, this is a great idea. It's something unique. It's something a little bit different. And we'll see if we can get this thing off the ground and see if people really enjoy it. Because who wouldn't enjoy going to a great home on a farm and watching the Kentucky Derby and doing all the horses? And, again, Tony would love this event because it's right up his alley.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. All right. Got to ask about Mike Watkins. How important has the Penn State culture been, in your opinion, to get Mike Watkins, because you and I have, you know directly where he came from. I've gone through there because I wanted to see. How important has the Penn State culture been to get him to this point where graduation is now a distinct possibility?
It's going to be one of the greatest success stories since The Blind Side, the movie.
Yeah.
I really believe that. Mike is from one of the toughest, unsafe neighborhoods.
Yes.
Probably in the country, okay? And the fact that he has survived, number one, and he has put himself in position to graduate, and he's not an angel. We know his shortcomings. We know what he's been through.
That's right.
And the culture has set him up to get his degree, and then hopefully to live his dream of trying to play in the NBA, where he can give his mother and his brothers and sisters a different chance for life, a different avenue, a different road where he can provide. He's matured. His health is something daily that he has to work on, but we have to work on it with him. And I'm excited that we give him that opportunity to come back for another year, continue to work, continue to get better, to continue to grow and work on his mental health and his physical health, and see what type of man that he can be when he gets that degree and find some success. So I look forward to what this season has for the Penn State Nittany Lions.
To be honest with you, should all of this come to fruition, it would be probably one of the truly great wins in the history of Penn State basketball, and it's not a game because it's life.
Yeah, and that's why I brought up The Blind Side. If you remember the movie,
yep.
Very similar, tough background, all that stuff. Family takes him in. I mean, we, Penn State, the community, Penn State University, from Dr. Barron to Sandy Barber, we've all taken Mike Watkins. Steve Jones, we've all taken Mike Watkins in. And we know what this could mean for this young man.
Yes.
Keeping him out of jail, keeping him out of, I hate to think like that, but I have to give perspective for people who are listening when you've never been on his block. You've never sat on his stoop. You've never dodged bullets. So this is something that's very real, and we're incredibly close. And we feel like Mike wants to partner up and finish the job.
Yeah, no, I deliberately went through there because I wanted to see. I mean, that way I knew what I was talking about when it came to Mike. I'm like, but you have to be there to know.
But you're the type of guy that wants to have relationships, so you have a better understanding of what this kid might be going through.
Right.
Because what we just see was what he does on the floor. People out there, that's all you see.
Right.
You don't know the challenges that he goes through on a daily basis.
I know. I want to ask about the basketball part. I think sometimes it is forgotten that he was hurt in late February a year ago. So he tried to play through it all last year. He's now going to be more than a year removed when he played. Stamina is one thing, all right? So that's certainly an easy one for everyone to talk about, his stamina in the game. To me, Patrick, part of that, though, is that if he had to make first jump defensively, he was really good. It was when he had to make a second, third jump defensively, he struggled. Is that something that you are hoping comes back because he's that far removed from the injury now?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You and I have talked about that a bunch of times. There was no real second jump. And there was real, when he got winded, he was winded. And it was in the first couple of minutes where a year prior, he could play for days. And that was very noticeable. I think people noticed it. He led the conference in dunks when he was a junior. I would venture to say he wasn't even close this year.
Right.
Again, that was Tony Carr on how
sure.
quick he was.
Right.
But I just didn't see that second jump, that burst. When he rolled, it wasn't like he was dunking the ball anymore. He really was just laying it in.
I have always been one that says I'd rather talk about who you have and who you don't have. So on the category of who you have, people have not had a chance to see Isaiah Brockington yet. When you look at Wheeler, MJ, Dredd, where does Brockington fit into that mix for you because the fans have not had a chance to watch him yet?
Brockington's a more offensive Josh Reeves, if I can just give them a visual of what they might see. He's electric. He's incredibly athletic, more athletic than Josh, which is almost frightening. But Josh was, you know, Josh was selfless. I mean, you look at Josh's statistics, 1,500, 300, 250.
Yeah.
That's a big-time player that's selfless. I think Isaiah is going to be more offensive. He's going to be looking to score the ball a little bit more. We really developed his shot. He's shooting the three ball much better than he ever has.
Right.
But he can get you a shot at the end of a clock off the bounce at any point and any time. He really gets off the ground on his jump shot. I mean, he gets up there. I'm talking a good 2-3 feet off the ground.
This is finals week, so now the door is open. Lamar can go work out anywhere he wants because he's not involved in classes any longer at Penn State for this particular semester. Have you had any contact with him about the next couple of weeks?
I have. Lamar and I communicate often, and I want this experience for him. I want him to chase his dreams, and then in a few weeks we're going to sit down and, you know, he's going to make the best decision for him and his family, and I'm going to be a part of that decision, that process. But I think Lamar has a good head on his shoulders. He's taking an exam today, so it's not like he's rushed off or he's out of here. He's probably going to leave tomorrow.
Right.
But he's staying in contact. So that's really important as we move forward. And we're going to, like I've said before, we're prepared for every scenario.
Right.
Lamar coming back, Lamar departing, if that's the best thing for him and his family. So we're ready for that. And, you know, when we cross that bridge, Steve,
right.
When we cross that, whether he stays or goes, we're going to be better right. Either way with Lamar Stevens being part of this program.
There's no question about that. In fact, we'll probably have the answer in about 21, 24 days.
I'd say end of the month, which is, you know, everybody hang on. If you got rosary beads, hit the beads a couple times. But either way, you know what? Lamar Stevens is a phenomenal young man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Blake and Linda Gall will be hosting this on Saturday. I would get a better hat than what Girardi recommends. That's, you know, that's only because...
Let's not go with any cowboy hats out there. Let's go with the old school, you know, quartet. You know the old school guys with the quartet when they had those hats? That's what I'm thinking of right now, Steven. I know what you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe bow tie, maybe some suspenders with some white buttons.
Yeah.
I think that's what this occasion stands for. Go have some fun. Go back in time a little bit. Pretend you're at the Kentucky Derby. And guess what? We're going to raise some money, and we're going to raise awareness. And that's what this community does. I mean, I received an award a couple weeks ago. And it's really about these people in this town and the great committee and the great volunteers and the great sponsors. And you know what? We're going to continue to do something special. And we got the golf tournament coming up May 30-31.
Yep.
So come out for that if you can't make it on Saturday. And let's keep helping our neighbors.
Absolutely. I mean, this is all about saving people or extending lives.
There's no doubt.
That's what it's all about.
No doubt.
Patrick, I know you have work to do on the future of Penn State basketball. Very important work. We will not keep you from that.
Thank you, Steve. Great to talk to you, buddy.
By the way, it's going to be, if you want, just get involved. It's a Kentucky Derby soiree. It's to benefit Coaches versus Cancer at Blake and Linda Gall's house here in State College. If you're interested, I mean, I know it's a little bit of a trip for people here, but cvcpennstate.org for tickets. It's cvcpennstate.org to get tickets for Saturday. Okay. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. Let's see. We've been running. We obviously did a lot when it came to running down Penn State basketball about Mike Watkins being back. Lamar Stevens did take a final, so he's still here on campus. He's then leaving tomorrow to then start his NBA tour and to see how it plays out. We had Neil Coulong on the show. Some lacrosse news for you. And in lacrosse news, Penn State's the number one ranked team in the country. They won the Big Ten championship. They will go to Rutgers. Had to play Rutgers again. They just beat Rutgers 14-13 here. Now they got to go there to play in the Big Ten tournament. Only the top four teams make it. Grant Ament, redshirt junior, named a unanimous Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. Chris Sabia was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Jeff Tambroni was named the Big Ten Coach of the Year. Ament was the only unanimous selection to the All-Big Ten team. He was joined in the first team by Sabia and junior Mac O'Keefe. Gerard Aseri and Colby Canese, the goaltender, the goalkeeper, Colby Canese, both earned second-team All-Big Ten. Nick Spillane was named the Nittany Lions recipient of the Sportsmanship Award. And Penn State 12-1 regular season, 5-0 in the Big Ten. First time that's ever happened for the Nittany Lions. And they will play Thursday. They will take on number 4 seed Rutgers at 5. We will talk about it's luck of the draw because Rutgers is predetermined who was hosting. It'll be a year where Penn State hosts it. They have to play him again. So, you go from there. You go from there. So that's the lacrosse news of the day. Also, starting in 2020, not this season, but 2020, so a year and a half from now, 3 more bowl games. Los Angeles, of course, will have its brand new stadium in place. And so their stadium will get a bowl game. Myrtle Beach will get a bowl game. And then in a game that will feature an ACC team and an American Conference team, Fenway Park in Boston will get a bowl game. That will make it to a total of 43 games, but of course the 43rd is the college football playoff championship game. So essentially 42 games, 84 teams. And that means about 65% of those in FBS will go to a bowl game. The purist will say that it cheapens the bowl experience. We, on the other hand, sit there, I sit there and say, yeah, I don't care. If it looks like a good game, I'll watch. Don't really think too much about records. Don't think about that much at all. I'm sitting there and I've got nothing to do. I'm just relaxing. And that looks like I'm just relaxing. Why not? Love watching football. ESPN, the magazine, is done in September. John Orrand broke that story today. Did you ever read that magazine?
Quite a bit when it first came out, close to 20 years ago. Yeah, I did. I was a subscriber for about 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember getting the issue with Mike Ditka and Ricky Williams on the cover.
Okay.
When Mike Ditka pretty much gave his whole draft away to take Ricky Williams.
I remember one time, 1 or 2 times, maybe, I thumbed through it and went, eh, are you kidding me? ESPN is an interesting organization. For all the brain power in there that is revolves around sports, they make some decisions where I just sit there and just shake my head. You can tell magazines are dying, yet they start one. They feel like, you know, the people will read ours. They'll make us with the brand name. That's not true. I think what the body issue is always the one that's sold, right?
Hi, this is Steve Jones inviting you to be part of the 28th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll kick off the event with a special broadcast on WKOK Tuesday, May 7th, starting at 3 at Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury. Wednesday, May 8th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Golf the four-person scramble and win great prizes. Openings are still available for the morning flight. To sign up your team today and for more information, call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today on the show. We've talked NFL draft. We have talked Penn State basketball. We can always talk about whatever you want. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to make sure in case I didn't. But I'm pretty sure I did. About Bo Nickel winning out in Las Vegas. Another brilliant set of performances by him. He is on a roll. David Taylor, by the way, did not participate. He was in a coaching role. Zane Rutherford finished runner-up. He finished second. So now, as far as I'm concerned, he's put himself in a really good position moving forward. And Jason Nolf lost by Criterium in the semifinal. He was tied 6-6. So Penn State was well represented in Vegas, did very, very well in Las Vegas, and of course the Olympic trials are here next year. I want to say the Olympic trials are here next year in June. And they've announced three bobbleheads for the State College Spikes. Trace McSorley's one. Blair Thomas is another. But David Taylor is also going to get a bobblehead here. And I think that that's going to draw. I believe David is going to be at the ballpark that night. Let me just see what night he is there. Because there'll be a lot of fans that will want it, especially if he's meeting and greeting. If he's meeting and greeting, that'll get a lot of people out there because they want to get a chance to talk with him. Let's see here. They're doing these list of giveaways every day. A beanie cap giveaway. We'll get that for the suit. He'll enjoy that. Let's see.
How many Bark in the Park nights were there last year? Two or three?
Four.
It's wild. Four. You knew that right off the top of your head.
I know. I knew that. Absolutely.
Four more this summer?
That's a good question. Probably. I mean, usually they try to do a minimum of one a month.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Four. Boom. Just like that.
Trace McSorley bobblehead, first 1,000 fans, Sunday, August 25th. Blair Thomas will make an appearance, sign autographs on Friday, July 26th. And David Taylor, first 1,000 fans on August 17th, and he will be on hand to meet and greet fans that night and sign autographs for the fans. So David, it's August 17th for David Taylor, the Magic Man. I'll say this, Cale not only has recruited obviously terrific wrestlers, but they're really terrific guys. Great guys. Oh, geez. I always love when I get these emails from the Big Ten Conference. Rutgers earns Boat of the Week in rowing. First notation is did not sink. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just, I mean, that's how you determine it?
That's
I mean,
a start, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Then work your way up from there.
I suppose. I just think that's a minimum standard.
Right.
Okay. So that's what they have. That's what the Spikes will have. I want to make sure that our fans around here knew about David Taylor on August the 17th. And, you know, the Penn State wrestlers are not only great athletes, but they're so approachable and personable. Terrific.
Yeah. So here and there we have briefly talked about UEFA Champions League soccer. The semifinals started today. Yeah. 78th minute, the team from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam, Ajax.
Yeah.
Tons and tons of young players on that team. They have knocked out Juventus from Italy, Real Madrid from Spain. And today they started their first of two legs with Tottenham in the brand new Tottenham Palace.
Tottenham finally lost at home on Sunday.
Yeah. Yes, and
they had not lost in the new stadium till Sunday.
Yeah.
A lackluster performance, I like.
Well, they still need some work here. Ajax is leading 1-0 currently, 78th minute. So that is huge when you're talking the overall aggregate. As the back end of the semifinal series, that'll be next week in Amsterdam.
And Liverpool's playing Barcelona, does that sound right?
That is tomorrow, yes.
That's tomorrow.
And that is that is in Spain.
Now, I told you about the new Tottenham Stadium, which is remarkable.
Off the hook, yes. NFL games will be played there.
Well, that's the NFL. That's where they picked to be the home site.
Yes.
For their games. So now it's finally ready.
Yeah, and it was delayed a couple of months, too. Yeah.
Well, this stadium is the monetary value of it's off the charts.
Yeah.
Now listen to this, and I got this from Scott Radisic because his group, used to be called HOK, I can't remember what they're called now. They designed this place, so when you're watching, you see the soccer pitch. So they're going to play NFL football on the soccer pitch. Oh no! They hit a button, and the field. The pitch peels away in three parts underneath, and then lamps, where they peel off to, lamps are turned on to make sure that the grass on the pitch, they can get some water on it underneath there, and they can also put some lamps to simulate the sun. Well, while these three parts peel away, the football field rises up. And that's how they do it. Then it's over with. They hit the button. Football field goes back down. Then another button. The three parts of the pitch come back and form together. Because that pitch is all put on trays. Now that's innovative. That's also expensive. How about that, huh?
Yeah, I'm on HOK's website, and they do more than just stadiums. They're also part of a major expansion of one of the terminals at Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh, no, I mean, it's building design. They do it.
Yeah. Did some work in Atlanta for Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Ken Rosenthal wrote a great article about Scott Boras. And the agent, he gets all the mega deals. He got the Harper deal done. 13 years, what, $330 million. But Boras has had more and more clients go away from him because the only two that got multi-year contracts this year were Bryce Harper and Marwin Gonzalez. He signed with the Minnesota Twins. Mike Moustakas got a one-year deal. Matt Waiters and Carlos Gonzalez agreed to minor league deals. Martin Maldonado left Boris completely, got a one-year deal. Gio Gonzalez left Boris, took a minor league deal with the Yankees. Now he's with the Brewers. Dallas Keuchel is a free agent. Now, do not expect Keuchel or Kimbrel to sign until after the June Major League Baseball draft. Why? They won't sign until after the June Major League Baseball draft for this reason. Once the baseball draft is over with, any free agent can sign and no compensation is needed to their previous team. That's why they'll sign after.
How bonkers is it, though, that neither one of them is signed with a team?
People don't want to pay them the money. So it comes down to, Boris says that the biggest problem that he has right now is not collusion. But the explanation leads one to ask, okay, it's not collusion, but it's an interesting way of going about it. Analytics are such a tool now in baseball, and it's becoming a tool in almost everything in sports now, that teams are using similar analytics to tell him that his clients are not worth what he's asking for. So Boris says it's not his negotiating style, but the way the clubs use analytics to value players. And when they do, they seem to land on similar dollar amounts in their appraisals. Boris said, quote, "These markets are very different because we have got a dynamic where the valuation component is common to all teams by design. Until clubs understand that this valuation system is inaccurate by large measure, and that it makes clubs perform less well than anticipated, only then will this valuation structure alter itself, become more a case in which certain players are worth a great deal to certain teams and not worth as much to other teams, like it's certainly been in the past." So he's saying that they're all using the same analytics, and because they're all using the same analytics, they are arriving at the same number, or at least in the same neighborhood. And that has not helped his negotiating at all. When that point is realized, we will have a true market. Until then, we have a false market. We have a situation that dramatically affects collective bargaining, and we have a structure in the game that is not in any way representative of what Major League Baseball has always been in the past. In other words, guessing. He said that is the composition of a team is varied. It is different, and the contracts you give players in response to that is going to dramatically vary from club to club as to interest and valuation. He said he is not alleging collusion. He said, but he is saying that the analytics-based valuations create the effects of collusion. So let's take it from the Boris point of view. It's a year ago. Your client is J.D. Martinez. The Boston Red Sox have had a great run, the best run of any team, with David Ortiz as their DH. So in other words, of all the DHs that have gone, nobody's had a better run at DH than David Ortiz. The only one that's close is probably Edgar Martinez of the Seattle Mariners. Okay. Ortiz retires. The Red Sox then do something I find inconceivable. They are last in the American League in home runs. In my lifetime, I never thought I'd see that. But in 2017, the Red Sox were last in home runs. So you're saying to yourself in the offseason, they need to find themselves a DH with power because they never fully replaced David Ortiz. Well, this goes to what Boris is talking about. And Martinez, by the way, was and is his client. He's sitting there and he's looking at a team that has a specific need for a replacement. Much like the Steelers with Ryan Shazier, they needed to replace him with Devin Bush. Well, the Red Sox had Ortiz retire, found that life without him, even though they won the division, they won 94 games, but they had to do it by manufacturing runs. So they wanted more power back in the lineup. So there's a specific need in a city that pays, and even though he did not get top dollar for J.D. Martinez, he got him a five-year contract. I think that's what he's talking about. Look at Philadelphia. Specific need. Young team. They needed a dynamic leader with power that fits that ballpark and is going to sell tickets. And have the Phillies ever been selling tickets? Right now, 15 of the 30 teams have lost ground attendance-wise from a year ago. Overall, Major League Baseball attendance is down 1% in the opening month. What has helped it stay at just 1%? Philadelphia. The Phillies' attendance is up 44% from last year. 44%. The lowest home crowd that the Phillies have had this year. 34,000. That's the lowest crowd, the smallest crowd they've had. There are four franchises in Major League Baseball right now where their smallest crowd has been under 10,000. Now, why is that significant? I think Sean just wants me to give the answer. Why is that significant?
Definitely Miami falls into that category for sure.
Miami's definitely in that category. Yeah. So that's not that's an obvious one. All right. When you see Miami get a crowd of 5,591, let's see. I'm trying to think who the other two are. Because I know one's Pittsburgh.
Tampa Bay? Maybe?
Might be.
Maybe.
But I know for a fact Pittsburgh's one. Pittsburgh had a crowd of 8,795. You want to know the significance of those numbers? Okay, when you see those numbers, because there's nobody at the game, because remember, what's attendance these days? Tickets sold. Right? So, tickets sold. That tells you exactly how many season tickets they've sold. See, that's the significance of the number. How many season tickets they have sold. Because that's tickets sold. Right now, Miami's averaging 9,951 a game. Tampa Bay, 14,008. Kansas City, 14,923. Pittsburgh, 14,967. Dodgers lead at 47,481. St. Louis, 41,155. Yankees, 39,817. The Phillies, 37,280. 37,280 for the Phillies. Then it's the Angels, the Cubs. Cubs are at 35,500. Milwaukee, the Red Sox are 33,849. Colorado and San Francisco. Now, San Francisco usually does pretty well. 32,665, good number, except their attendance is down 18% from last year. That's not a good sign. Not a good sign. But that's the... Hey? That's the big number. And again, you're looking at, let's see, Toronto's down 33%. The Twins are down 18%. The Giants are down 17%. Marlins are down 16%. They had nobody to lose. Kansas City's down 15%. And let's see. Oh, the Cincinnati Reds are the other one. That's the one that's a shocker. I mean, Cincinnati Reds baseball, nobody's drawing. Cubs and Rockies both have percentage changes of less than 1%. There are 15 teams that have gained 8% or less, with one notable exception. The Phillies are up 44%. That's what the big signing means. Yeah, the Reds were the other team, Sean. I forgot about the Reds. The Reds, and that's the one. I mean, traditionally, Cincinnati baseball, are you kidding me? The Reds are down 11% in attendance. The Rays are down 8% from the opening month last year. And the Rays are off to a great start. The Rays are playing great baseball. The Rays are playing great baseball. And they still can't draw people. And that's the big one right there. So here are the four teams that have had gates of less than 10,000, which then tells you essentially what the season ticket base is. Miami, 5,934. Baltimore, 6,585. Cincinnati, 7,799. Pittsburgh, 8,523. That tells you how paltry their season ticket base is in those four cities. Because those are tickets sold. And when you're looking, there was a Pirate game I was watching last week on TV. Honestly, Sean, there could have been more than 2,000 people in the seats. Could have been 2,000 people there. It's bad when they have a promotion called Die Hard Night at the ballpark. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.